of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Well, 2 weeks ago, knowing that Moose had last Sunday, I was thinking and preparing, oh, great. I'm going to have a lot of time to sit back and actually plan this message through. And so I was beginning with a message, and I was having it all prepared, and I was working it through. And then yesterday morning, the Lord woke me up early, and there was another verse that was on my mind prior, but woke me up early and said, no, we've got to go with this other one. So all the prep works for another day, so we'll put that one on the side for now. But if you'll turn with me to John chapter 13, the Lord had this on my heart, and I got to say, I'm sure that it's been passed down through the years a daunting passage. I know that there are many who take it literally, and it's the passage in respect to Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and so there's people who take it literally and go and they wash feet, and so it's, I can't say anything that I'm going to do justice at all, but it's what the Lord had on my heart, and so I want to share what he put on my heart. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. I find myself feeling like Peter every now and again in terms of his eagerness and seeing that his master was wanting to wash his feet. He's, all right, yeah, all of it, let's get it all. Jumps in there, not my feet only, but my hands, my feet, my head. In verse 11, Jesus says, though, not all of you are clean. He was speaking of Judas, the 12 around the table. Judas was one of the 12. He followed Jesus, carried the money bag, he was trusted. He fit in with the disciples, but according to Jesus' word, he was not made clean. I believe that I have to begin here, because perhaps someone here this morning or someone listening online has not been made clean, has not taken up their cross and followed him, has not been born again, has not been crucified with Christ. If you're not certain if you've been born again or if you know that you aren't, nothing else in this message applies to you. See, life on earth begins when a mother gives birth to a child, and so life as a Christian begins when you've been born again of the Spirit of God. We must confess our sins to God and repent, turning away from our sins, and through faith, believing in the Lord Jesus, that he is the Son of God, and that he died for our sins. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. You cannot come to the Father by any means other than being washed clean in the precious blood of Jesus. Have you bathed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, in that passage, when Peter's asking Jesus to wash his head and his hands and his feet, he's speaking of his whole body, and Jesus says, those who are already washed have no need of being washed again. And in the Greek, the words that they're talking about is the fact that Peter's looking for his whole body to be washed, but Jesus is saying, your whole body is already washed. So that's where we must begin. Are you clean? Have you been washed head to toe in the blood of the Lamb? And if you have, amen. So if you have been born again, and if you have received the saving grace of God, if you were made clean when you first believed in the Lord Jesus, are you still clean? Here's where I'm going to be getting into trouble. In verse 10, Jesus says, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. Verse 8 earlier, it says, if you do not wash, you have no share with me. See, as I mentioned, the Greek words for wash, there's a few different ones, and the ones that Jesus are using specifically, it just means feet. Just like for me growing up, when someone said, go wash before supper, it didn't mean go have a bath. It meant go wash your hands. You just wash your hands before you eat the meal. And so the words that Jesus is using in this passage are pointing to just feet, just this bit of dirt that's on the person's feet. And Peter's looking at it, at his whole self. He's wanting his whole self to be washed. But so what does this mean? Where Jesus says, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. See, Jesus is saying that you who have been made clean or born again are still in need of regular washing. You still get a little dirty. You do not need to go back and have another bath. You do not need to go back and be saved again. But you need to wash a little bit of the dirt off. See, there are those who would believe that once they are saved for eternity's sake, and then they can live their life however they want. However, we cannot assume that having prayed a prayer when we were 5 or 9 or 12 or whenever, that having prayed a prayer we can live our life however we want because we now have our ticket to heaven. Or perhaps being baptized somewhere that you now have your baptismal record that, okay, I've been baptized. Nor can we assume that being a disciplined and devout bench warmer on Sunday mornings, giving a regular 10% of our income to reserve our seat, gets us into heaven. Nor can we assume that if we've read and studied systematic theologies and can debate and explain all of these difficult doctrines, that we've been made clean. We must be fully washed. And we must come back to the Lord for a little washing of the feet, confessing our sin. And see, it's not as dramatic as the rebirth. Just a gentle cleansing. Just a little wash. See, in the rebirth, we come before the Lord and we see who we are in our nakedness and in our sins, and we recognize how awful a price was paid for us, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that they are our sins that we've committed willingly. And we see that. And so we don't have to come back and go through that process over and over again. It is just a gentle washing, a gentle coming back saying, yeah, Lord, I'm sorry. I've sinned. Now, yes, all our sins are forgiven when we were born again. Christ died to sin once for all, making full atonement. So in a legal sense, our verdict is not guilty. We are brought into the family of God and accepted, not because of who we are or anything that we've done, but by His grace alone, that no man may boast. But being born again into the family of God means that He is no longer a judge to us. He's now our Father. And what good father is pleased with presumptuous, impudent children? Wouldn't he prefer that his children consider and understand that they grieve their father's heart when they've done something wrong and so humbly seek his forgiveness. Just this past week, Kaylee is in a little group that we have at the school with a number of other children. And there's an incident. Kaylee's my daughter. Philippa is in this little nursery thing as well with her. And there's an incident where one of the other children either slapped her or hit her or something first, and so she got a little upset. And then it happened again. However, the second time it was that this other child had actually punched her. And so Kaylee, as we would look at it, rightfully so, turns and screams at this other girl, and says things awful. I wasn't there, so I can't quote it. But then Philippa, her mom, turns to her and says, "Kaylee." And Kaylee looks back and says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry." But right there in that moment, she's learned a lesson. Discipline isn't necessary. Judgment isn't necessary. Grace, love, forgiveness, peace, and joy, all right there, because she has learned a lesson. She knows that what she's done is wrong, and she's not proud of it at all. She's hurt because she's done wrong. But what does she need to do? She needs to come to her father. And when I think of those who would believe that they have been saved once and can live their lives, I just picture myself in that position. In terms of the scenario with Kaylee, if that went another way, if I was there and she got hit and then she were to lash out like that to another child and then turn to me and say, "Yeah, but I'm justified in what I said. I was right to do that. They hit me, so I can do that back. They wronged me." I would be hurt. I would be very hurt, because that's not how I'm training Kaylee. It's not how I'm raising her. And here, God isn't happy with us when we do the same either. We should never be so audacious as to assume forgiveness from God. Forgiveness comes through the cost of Jesus dying on the cross. We should be coming to him daily for a little washing of the feet. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, many of you have it memorized. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses." We can end right there, but give us this day our daily bread. If you're not praying that every day, those are wrong words. Perhaps if you're praying that every week, you'd be saying, "Give us this week our weekly bread. Give us this month our monthly bread." However frequently it is that you're coming before the Lord, but what's the next statement? "Forgive us our trespasses." If you're saying that whole prayer every day, you're looking for forgiveness of sin every day. You're confessing that there is something between you and God. And so I would find that if we had no need of confessing our sins daily after being born again, then the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray is a lie on that principle, because he wouldn't tell us to pray daily forgiveness of sins. Are you still clean? As I mentioned, there are a number that believe and understand doctrine and theology that they would go and they would debate and they would stand and profess that, "I have been made righteous because of Jesus' blood. I have been clothed in his righteousness and I stand right before God," which is true. But we cannot live our lives presumptuously upon the grace and the forgiveness of God. We must come to him. Come back to him daily. The dirt on the feet, if it is daily, be minimal. Sometimes you might not even see it. You know it's there, but you might not know what it is specifically. But in our humanness, in our sin nature, we have that tendency to become lazy and to just go and day upon day, week upon week, forget to come seeking forgiveness for things. And all of a sudden, when we come to the Lord, we look and we see more sins, and so we then maybe the scrubbing to get that dirt off is a little bit more painful. And maybe as we continue, instead of coming back to the Lord, because it is a little bit painful to scrub some of that off, maybe we decide, you know what, I'm just not gonna come back. I don't feel like being scrubbed clean. And this is the point that I find most serious, because Jesus himself says in verse 8, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. That's the washing of just a portion, that word in the Greek. Are you still clean? Now, I can stand here and testify for you that I find it at times difficult as well, where in terms of a routine of it, if you want to think of it that way, that, yeah, you just, okay, one day to the next, it's like, okay, God, I'm not really feeling anything. For those of you who were here last week, Moose had that locomotive, fact, faith, and feeling. Feeling was the caboose. Feeling, however, will steer you wrong if you allow your feelings to lead you. Are you still clean? We can go from there into verses 6 and ask this question of ourselves then too. Are we helping others get clean? Verse 6, Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And as we read that in the Greek, originally the sentence was structured a little bit differently, and Lord and me were put together and in contrast. And what we come to understand, looking at it that way, is that Peter, in this moment, it wasn't just like, hey, wait, what's going on? He was totally just taken aback by this, that Jesus, his master, his teacher, his Lord, his rabbi, is humbling himself to the servant position, taking a towel around himself and becoming a servant to Peter. Peter knows, Peter understands, this is wrong. This does not happen. The Lord is the master of the house. He has servants for this. Peter's taken back. And if we go forward to verses 15 and 16 of the same chapter, Jesus is speaking, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. Have you been made clean? Are you still clean? Are you helping others get clean? I think we would fall into one of those positions today. And with helping others get clean, it's to be through service. Loving others better than yourself. You can see before us we have the communion tables. And so before we partake, I'll just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But before you go to partake in communion, keep these things in mind. Are you clean? Perhaps there's someone here this morning who's sitting just part of the fellowship, enjoying the fact that they can be here among disciples, among fellow believers, fitting in, but perhaps you're more of the Judas position, that you haven't been made clean. And I would beg you, be made clean. Humble yourselves. Repent. Seek the Lord. Perhaps you know and you have that assurance that you have. Then my question to you there is, are you still clean? Or have you perhaps forsaken the forgiveness, the grace of God? And then also with that, are you helping others get clean? Not in the respect of showing other people that they're dirty, but going and washing their. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now perhaps you're new here, a visitor. The way that we do things here at Life Point is we just come up as you're ready in your family, get the element, the juice, the bread, go back and sit at your chair or go find a spot in the sanctuary and just spend some time with the Lord. Be right before him. Be clean. Ask him, search my heart, Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. And take your time for it this morning. Don't rush this. You could easily have a feeling or a thought that maybe, Lord, I remember something this last week that I did. Or perhaps this morning. Be right before God. Not because of something you've done. Don't try to think that way. You're made right because of the gracious sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The love of God. So rich, so pure. Knowing no end, as we sang. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you in this time, we humbly bow. With thankful hearts, Father, for what you have done. And we come before you to remember the broken body of Jesus on the cross and the blood that was shed for our sins. And we thank you that you have opened up the way, that we are now brought into the family of God, that we can be brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we would ask you to continue speaking with us this morning. Direct our hearts. Give us understanding. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.